Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, today we're jumping into a new sermon series. Get your Bibles out, take your phones out, make sure you check in, let people know that you're here at Hope City. Our new sermon series is called Flip the Script, where Jesus came and he flipped the script. In Matthew, we're in Matthew chapter 5, and we've read up to this point where Jesus came. And he began his earthly ministry, and that's exactly where we open up, where Jesus began his earthly ministry. He began to speak to people, and he literally flipped the script of the day. He literally would come, and he'd say, "This is how you live as believers." And guys, this is what's so important to me, is when you say yes to Jesus, you're saying yes to living according to his ways to see the blessings in your life. Okay, it's not yes, and then I'm going to go back to my old way of living, my old way of thinking. I'm just going to say yes because I feel, no, it is yes. And God, I want you to completely change the way I live. And that's what Jesus came and he flipped the script. And when Jesus flipped the script, it was unconventional. Because up to this point, the religious leaders of the day were teaching one way. So you'd literally go to church and you hear one way, and Jesus came along and said, "No, flip the script. This is what you really need to know about kingdom living." And today we're going to dig into this. What did it mean when Jesus came to turn our world upside down and say, "No, this is how you live as a believer"? This is what it means to be a Christ follower. Because, you know, being a Christian is not just a title, but it literally means that you are a Christ follower. You emulate how he lived while he was here. We live different than the world. We live according to the kingdom of God. And it's so important because that changes everything. The life that Jesus calls his followers today would not be what the religious folks of the day looked back then. Because the religious folks of the day would say, "Man, you got to follow all these rules. You got to be perfect." They were concerned about what you look like, not who you were. They were concerned. In fact, Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. They look good on the inside, but they were a million miles away from him on the inside. They look good on the outside. They were a million miles away from him on the inside. Let's see if I can get this right. Woo! I don't want people to look at Hope City and go, "Well, they look good on the outside, but they're a million miles away from Jesus on the inside." Kingdom living looks like what Jesus was about to do in chapter 5 when he came on the scene and he preached a sermon that would be known as the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, it would be one of Jesus' first sermons. Listen, your life as a Christ follower is not going to look like the world's way of living. I want to make that very clear. You cannot have a foot in both worlds. You can't have a foot in the world and a foot in the kingdom of God and expect to live under the blessing that God wants to bring into your life. And I'm afraid that too many of us try to straddle that. "Well, I'll mess around with the things of the world, but hopefully I can get the blessings of the kingdom." Or maybe this, maybe there's a guardrail and you know the world's here and you're living here and you try to get as close to the guardrail as you possibly can. And here's the deal about as close to the guardrail, you're typically going to go over. People that have struggled with addiction, I tell them all the time, don't get close to your guardrails. Get them set up and stay far away from that. Because if you get close to that guardrail, you're going back to that addiction. That's what kingdom living is all about. It's why when you decide to live for Jesus, it means that you have to walk away from your past the way you have lived and allow Jesus to make you a new creation. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But it's this commitment to saying, "Jesus, I want to live how you call me to live." You cannot expect to become a Christian and not change your life. Because what that tells me is you've not surrendered. And that's what Jesus was saying. When you become a Christian, when you make that commitment, it's not just about saying a prayer, but it's about literally letting Jesus transform your life. I ran across a great statement as I was studying for this message. What Jesus called his blessed or the flourishing life isn't the kind of stuff that will make the blessed hashtags on Instagram. "I'm so blessed." Hobby Lobby blessed signs. "Well, blessed. I'm just blessed." Okay? How many of you have seen that on somebody's Facebook? They like tag it and go, "Blessed," and they're all smiling and happy. Okay? That's not what we're talking about when we get into the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's contained in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus delivered this message very early on in the ministry to establish what kingdom living looked like and the kind of life Jesus was calling disciples to live. And all of us are disciples. All of us need to be in the process of becoming more like Jesus, which that means a disciple. The Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' description of the new kingdom life he's bringing about as the king of the kingdom. These are not the ways that his followers are made right with God, nor are they the strict rules his followers are to be kept in check by. That's religion. Jesus came to bring us freedom, not religion. The Sermon on the Mount offers more of a vision of the kind of kingdom living that Jesus offers and he inaugurated, and the kind of kingdom people who can represent and advance the kingdom. I love what N.T. Wright, a leading theologian, he described the larger truth of the Sermon on the Mount by saying this: God's future is arriving in the present, in the person and in the work of Jesus, and you can practice right now the habits of life which you will find their goal in that coming future, which is eternity. We're practicing what it means to be a follower of Jesus right here on earth. The Sermon on the Mount gives us a picture of what abundant life looks like. And what we need to know, because I think in America, we think abundant life means everything's perfect. You have everything you need. You have everything you want. You have all the toys in the world. You have a full bank account. That's what abundant life means. And I'm here to tell you, you can have abundant life in the midst of challenges and troubles. And that's more of what the reality of living in the kingdom looks like. Not letting the world dictate our outlook and what we how we view things. Abundant life. What it doesn't mean is that you're going to be worry-free and without problems. That's simply not the case. And when you watch Christian TV, they want to make everybody look like life is so perfect. And then we come to reality, right? And we realize that life isn't perfect and that we do have challenges and how we walk through that and how we make it through. So if you're walking through challenging times right now, and you're saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I want you to know you're in good company, that we all walk through difficult times. That's part of being a follower of Jesus. The good news is we don't walk through them alone. The good news is when you're living in the kingdom, kingdom principles follow. That's the good news. The good news is that when we face difficulties and we face challenges, we're not facing them alone. We're facing them with Jesus. And that changes everything. Either you believe it or you don't. Because I think what happens is we get into challenging points and we forget the promises that God's given us. We forget that we're not walking this alone. We forget that God has promised that he'll take care of everything in our lives. Doesn't mean it's not going to be trouble-free. But I'll tell you this, when challenges come, you don't have to live in fear, worry, anxiety. You don't have to live with stress. I'm going to tell you something. If you buy into fear and worry and anxiety and stress, you're buying into the things of this world and not the kingdom. Okay? Does that mean it's always easy? No. Does that mean that sometimes in life you've got to get, like, maybe your chemicals are off? Totally. But what I'm saying is when stress and fear and worry and anxiety are constantly what you're living in the world's way, not the kingdom way. And God wants to lift it off because he does not want us to live with that fear and worry and anxiety. I like to say the Beatitudes can be an attitude adjustment at times in our lives. Some of us, we need an attitude adjustment right now. And I'm here to give it to you. Actually, I'm not. Jesus will. As we read the Beatitudes, we understand that life isn't always going to be perfect and it's going to be challenging. And what we do with that is how we get through it and how we see victory on the other side. Jesus was clear, and he laid it out in a way that we would experience abundant life even in the midst of challenges. You can experience God doing incredible things in the biggest storms of your life. Our purpose at Hope City, and many of you know this, we've said it over and over again, is to love God and to love others. That's why we exist. And I'm not just saying it like, oh, kumbaya, like, oh, it's so pretty. Like, no, we really believe it. We want you to feel loved. We want to love God first, and then we want to love each other. And you know what? People say it all the time. When they walk in the doors, they feel so much love. That's what we're all about. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are kingdom principles. When I read Matthew 22, 37, it stops me on my tracks. Because I read this, Jesus replied, you must, okay? You must, that is a command. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And what I do is I sit and I look at this scripture and I go, okay, God, how am I doing loving you with all my heart? Is there anything that's slipped in that's caused me to not love you? Is there things that I'm loving more than you? How am I doing with all my soul, which I view your soul as kind of all of the component of who you are, your spirit, your soul. How's my spirit doing? And I want to tell you something, and you, like, this is totally off the notes, but I feel like I need to say it. If your spirit is full of bitterness and hate, you got a problem that only forgiveness can bring. Some of you, you're so bitter, it's keeping you separated from God. So how's my heart? How's my soul? What's my spirit doing? And then my mind, what am I allowing in my mind? And then how am I loving others? So we're going to dig in. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 12. If you've got your Bibles, open them up. If you're on your phone, get there. And don't move over to Facebook now. Now's the time to pay attention, all right? Here it is. One day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them. One day as he saw the crowds gathering, I'm just going to read that again because I copied it twice into my notes. We might need it twice. One day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach. Here's what I love about that scripture. Wherever Jesus went, there were crowds of people because they were desperate. They were hungry, and they would always be met. So I don't know about you, but I want to remain hungry because Jesus would always meet people who were hungry. The crowds would follow him. And if you've ever been overseas and you've seen crowds of people, it's not just like little, but they're pressing in. How many of you have been overseas in like the Philippines, or how many of you know what I'm talking about, where they press in and you can barely breathe? That's the kind of crowds we're talking about. You don't see it in America unless you're going to like a sports game. All right, but can you imagine if it was here where people are, I got to get to Jesus. Like, I got to press in. I got to find out what the answer is for life. I got to get close to him. That's what those crowds, they were hungry to learn about this new in lifestyle that Jesus was preaching about. And I want to challenge us. Let's not let this be old news, but let's be that kind of hungry to say, as we hear these beatitudes, let me have that kind of hunger that I want that in my life. I don't want just the same old business as normal, business as usual, but I'm hungry, God. I want more. I want all that you have for me. I want exponentially more. I want to look at three questions that come to my mind, okay? Because this is what it is. Let's go to that next scripture, okay? The Beatitudes. So question number one is, what is the kingdom of God? Because when we talk about this, Matthew 5, 3, God blesses who are poor, who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Two times in this scripture, Jesus mentions the kingdom of heaven. So what does that look like? Because I want to explain, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, what are we talking about? The Beatitudes are a radically bold statement of Jesus' intent to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth, which means when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, you have a choice of what kingdom you're going to live in. You can live in the world, or you can say, God, I'm going to live in your kingdom. Right now, right here, on this earth, I'm going to live in your kingdom. Okay? Here's the challenge. The world is physical. You see things all the time in the world. And if you make the mistake and you don't realize that everything that happens in the physical realm is related to the spiritual realm, you've missed out on what God is saying. Okay? It's not the physical realm dictates the spiritual realm. It's the spiritual realm dictating the physical realm. So let me take it one step further. Are you choosing to live in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness? That's really what we're talking about. Okay? And here's how you know. Are you living according to the principles of the kingdom of God? Are you living according to the principles of the kingdom of this world? Where are you going to plant your feet right now, at this very moment? Okay? What do you allow to operate in your life? Is it the principles of this world or is it the principles of the kingdom? You have to make a choice now. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And we are talking about an economic point of view. The poor are those who've encountered unfortunate circumstances from an economic point of view, but also persons who are spiritually and emotionally oppressed, disillusioned, and in need of God's help. The first beatitude undercuts the predominant worldview that assumes that material blessings are a sign of God's approval in one's life, and they automatically flow from one's spiritual blessings. When you look at that, America is in this trouble right now. We're not poor in spirit. In fact, we look at everything we have, and that dictates, that's the kingdom that we choose to live in. Material ways. So when things aren't right financially, it feels like everything is turned upside down. Listen to what Jesus said. Blessed are the poor. God blesses those who are poor, and he realizes their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So if you're walking through difficulties, and I think what it's saying is, when you're poor, you're completely dependent upon him. That's how we have to approach life. Like, God, it doesn't matter if my bank account is full or empty. I trust in you. I'm not going to trust in the things of this world. I'm not going to spend all my time trying to make it financially and spending all my time and effort in that. I'm going to put my trust in your kingdom, and God, you're going to take care of it. That is a game changer. And I want you to know that when we put our trust in the world when it comes to our finances, you're going to be chasing after that until the day you die, and it's like a carrot on a string, and you're never going to find it. If I only had a better job, if I only had a bigger bank account, if I only had this, if I only had that, America is in trouble because we don't realize our need for God. Money has taken that spot. So living in the kingdom, what you see is the kingdom of God. You have to decide where you're going to look and where you're going to live. The best way I can explain this is if you've ever been in an embassy, okay? Like England has an embassy in the United States, in New York City. When you step into that embassy, you are on the territory. You're in England, okay? But they're still in the United States. That's the way God's kingdom works. God's kingdom is all around us. When we choose to step into that, we are of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're saying, God, I'm choosing to live according to your kingdom principles. Jesus, I'm trusting you to live according to what your word says, not what I see around me. Do not let the world dictate how you view God and what you think he's going to do for you and how he's going to show up for you and what God is going to do to turn things around. Because that's where fear and worry and anxiety comes from. When you're trying to live in this system and God's saying, I've got a better system for you, and that's where you step into. Does that make sense? We're living in the kingdom of God. It's not someday when I die and when I step into eternity. It's right now. It's God, you're going to take care of my needs because I'm in your kingdom. How does it work out practically? Let's look at the area of finances. The Bible says that we're to give God 10% of our income. And when we do it, God will open up the windows of heaven upon us. What God can do with your 90% and his 10% is way more than what you could ever do with your 100%. Okay? Now, the world would say, hoard everything. Don't give anything away. Don't be generous. Like, you need to just fill up your bank account. Like, just hold on to your money, because what if you can't pay your bills? God's kingdom says, you put me first, and everything else will come. Everything else will happen for you. And you don't have to strive. And you don't have to. There are so many people worn out because they're trying to live in both worlds. But Pastor Jason, you don't understand. I'm looking at my checkbook, and my checkbook says I'm empty. What world are you choosing to live in? Because God says you have abundance. Well, are you crazy, Pastor Jason? Like, my checkbook says it's zero. Well, how about you step out and trust God and see what he does according to kingdom principles? Does that make sense to everybody? Does it make sense, like, what we're talking about when we're talking about the kingdom of God? Because there's God's ways and there's the ways of this world. There's God's kingdom ways, there's the ways of this world. What are you going to choose when you start to do looking at your outlook, the way you feel, the way you go after, the things that you spend your life upon? Because that's an important question. What kingdom are you going to choose? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We have to make that choice. I'm going to tell you this. God's way and God's plan completely goes against the world's thinking. So stop asking your friends who are not saved what they think about what you're doing in your life, because they're not going to understand the kingdom of God and his principles. Well, I've talked to 500 people. Stop talking to people. Get to God's word, all right? Let's dig into God's word and let's see what happens. God says you are blessed when you're poor and you'll inherit the kingdom of God. Am I saying we all need to become poor? That's not what I'm saying. But we cannot let money dictate and run our lives anymore, because God's going to provide. If you're in the kingdom, God's going to provide, okay? Don't expect your friends. In fact, I would challenge you, stop asking for your friends' advice if they don't believe in Jesus, because they're never going to give you a kingdom perspective, and that's what you need. Well, I think I'm going to have 1 foot in the kingdom and 1 foot in the world. How does that work? It doesn't. All it does is bring a ton of like insecurity and fear and worry. Decide to firmly put your feet in God's kingdom. And then these are the things that are going to happen. That's where God's promises are found. So what did Jesus say in the Beatitudes? We already read the first one. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs, Matthew 5:3. When you look at the word beatitude in the Greek, in the Latin, in the Greek, maybe the Greek, I don't know. What that language, right? Okay. It's all Greek to me. All right. Anyways. But that word literally means blessed. So when you're talking about beatitudes, I think it's in the Greek. Paul, is it in the Greek? Okay, good. That's what I thought. It means, see, and I have to Google all my stuff. So if you're a Googler, I do too, because I can't remember it all. All right? So we're in good shape. But the beatitude literally means blessed. Some translations will say it translates into happy, okay? So this is what it says. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That's another beatitude. Okay? The first five deal with how we relate to others. The last four deal with how we relate to God. So it ties into Matthew, where love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to have to mourn to be comforted. That's hard. Anybody want to sign up for mourning? Okay? God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the earth. There's no room for pride in our lives. God blesses those who are hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. That's what I'm saying. Nobody's going to be hashtagging mourning as blessed. Nobody's going to be hashtagging getting rid of pride in my life as blessed. Nobody's going to be like looking at this stuff and going, oh, sign me up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I want to mourn. Yep. Sign me up. I want to get rid of pride in my life. Oh, I want to be humble. Ask God to make you humble. See what happens. None of this stuff is things that we would necessarily look on our own. But Jesus calls us to flip the script and do hard things. To live unconventional. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. I love the promise that Jesus gave us. The kingdom of God is ours if we'll live this way. And see, as you walk through these things, I think the challenge is don't let it throw you off, but go, okay, God, I'm walking in your kingdom and you've got this. This is a different way. Like the world teaches us to be prideful. God says, be humble. The world fights against justice. The scripture says, look for justice. The Beatitudes are not easy. It means that we have to live completely countercultural. It means that we have to take our eyes off the physical and put them squarely on the spiritual. You have a choice to make when you look at the Beatitudes. Look through those Beatitudes. Read through them this week and say, God, what are you speaking to me? And then question number three, and I'm going to be really quick because I got to go quick, all right? Question number three, what does blessing look like in our lives? Blessing doesn't always look like happiness. In America, we do everything we can to be happy. Well, I'm not happy today. People wake up and they realize, well, I'm not happy in my marriage, so they throw it away. I'm not happy. We strive for happiness, and that's not what blessing is. It's important to look at what Jesus was talking about when he talked about blessing. And again, many times in our mind, it equals finances or material wealth. And you do these things and you're like, well, God, my bank account's not getting bigger. That's not what it's about. What it's about is you're living under the kingdom principles and God's going to take care of every need that you have. We need to be prepared and ready for what the enemy throws at us, and we need to make the choice to live according to the kingdom of God and not the world. If you look at the world around you, fear and worry and anxiety can easily pop up. But when you put your eyes squarely on Jesus and the kingdom, that's where blessing comes. That's why it's important to know God's promises in his word. It's important to dig into that and find out, God, what are you saying to me? The Bible has a different view of the goal of human life. Rather than living for happiness, understood as having certain feelings and experiences, Scripture teaches that the goal of life is to love God and love other people. When we do love God and we seek his glory, we are blessed regardless of how we feel and what we see. Let's start identifying the areas of life that we're blessed in. Let's start identifying. God's blessing doesn't mean that you're going to experience trouble-free living and everything's going to be perfect. And what happens is when those difficult times come, we've got to be careful that the enemy can't knock us off the track and try to convince us that God's not good and that God doesn't have blessings in our lives, because it's simply not true. Hold on. Wait for what God wants to do. Trust in him. And listen, John 16:33 tells us, I've told you these things so that in me you have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You're going to have trouble, but when you choose to live in God's kingdom, you can have peace. It's the difficult moments in the difficult moments of life that you can't give up, and you got to hold on. And you got to say, God, whether I see it or not, I know you're working. I know you're blessed because I'm living in your kingdom. And this is what the promises say to be when I live in this kingdom and when I make that choice. Okay? When you're over here and you're living in this world and things start going upside down in your life, expect them to go upside down. Expect to live with fear and anxiety and worry, because the chaos and all the junk in the world that we're living in, that's not going to go away. That's why you have to choose to live in the kingdom of God, to break all that stuff off. We're blessed despite what you walk through. And keeping your eyes on him in the midst of the challenges. And don't ever, from here on out, don't ever say, well, God, I did all this stuff and I expected life to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be things that come along, because we live, we're not in the world, we're not of the world, but we live in the world. There's going to be things that happen. And what kingdom you choose to live in is what Jesus was saying. You are blessed despite what it seems like, what it looks like, what you feel. Friends, when we live according to how we feel instead of what we know, man, it's like a roller coaster. Well, I feel this way today. Well, get your feelings, put them under the kingdom, and say, God, what do you want me to know about them?
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.